Today marks the 50th anniversary of the return of the Apollo 13 crew to Earth, safely to Earth, after one of the most remarkable stories in modern times. I mentioned earlier on that my grandson saw the film. No, it wasn't my grandson. No, I'm sorry. It was one of my lads a long time ago. That's right, it was one of my lads. And we went to the pictures.
I was going to say, it's a bit of a grown-up film for Harry to watch.
No, we went to the pictures to see it. And he turned to Mum and he said, Mum, I am never going into space. After seeing that. You remember the Apollo 13 story. They encountered numerous problems on their way to the moon, and it resulted in NASA coming up with a plan to guide the crippled spacecraft back to Earth. Well, a former NASA engineer who now lives in Shropshire said the near tragedy led to a number of important changes. Bonnie Hoeval worked in Houston on shuttle missions in the late 70s and early 80s. She now lives at West Felton near Oswestry Street. Bonnie, good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning. What are your memories of Apollo 13?
Oh, I was a kid then, a teenager, and the following week, well, the week that it happened, the movie Marooned was supposed to open at the theater in town. And that's also about a capsule stranded in space and all sorts of life and death problems. That doesn't turn out as well as Apollo 13 did. Needless to say, the opening of the movie was postponed. And I was already a space nut, so I was watching the Apollo 13 saga, with all sorts of anxiety.
You worked at NASA on the shuttle program. Did people still talk about Apollo 13?
You know, I don't remember anybody ever discussing that mission. They mentioned the Apollo program from time to time. Mm. We were reusing some of the gear from the Apollo program. But nobody spoke about the Apollo 13 mission itself.
What did you think of the film?
I thought the film was very, very well done. Very meticulous about trying to stay accurate. And that was the important part, to get across what it was really like trying to get through that mission without losing the crew.
I can't imagine. We were talking about this earlier on, Claire and I, this morning, about when they went on the dark side and they couldn't be heard for a period of time. There was no communication. That's so scary.
It was scarier when the blackout happened during re-entry. You know, the gases around the capsule get so hot during re-entry that radio signals can't go through. And the blackout lasted much longer than it was supposed to, and so everybody thought, oh, my God, they've burned up. They're dead.
And, as far as I remember
it. When their voices finally came through, there was this immense sense of relief.
Oh, I'll bet. And as far as I remember it, I haven't seen the film for ages, but as far as I remember it, it was a simple thing that had gone wrong, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But it was an example of what happens when you fail to pay attention to the complexity of a whole system. There was a voltage on the launch pad that got changed ever so slightly, and nobody walked through what all the ripple effects would be. So that slight change in voltage caused some insulation to burn off of some wires and caused a thermostat in an oxygen tank to burn up during simulations before the mission ever even happened. After they launched, every so often they needed to stir the oxygen tank. If they didn't, because there's no gravity, there's no convection, stuff kind of settles in place, and the oxygen tank won't feed properly into both breathing oxygen and electricity generation and water generation, all the things that the oxygen tank was used for. And so when Swigert turned on the switch to stir the tank, that little bit of burnt-off wire insulation caused a spark. And, of course, there was all the oxygen, and so it blew. And it also damaged the adjacent tank, and so that one lost all of its oxygen, too. So it was the tiniest little oversight in a very complex system that led to the entire crisis.
And you say now that that near tragedy led to a number of important changes.
Some really important I'm not so sure I'd say changes is more like learnings. Mm. I mean, if you only look at the technical problems, then you're missing the point. Rocket science is tough, but the human element is tougher. it's very hard for human beings to keep an entire complex system in our heads. It, on something as complex as an Apollo rocket and the capsule attached to it, or as complex as the shuttle or the space station, it's not possible for any one person to have the whole system in their head. So you need leadership that's very good at prioritizing, auditing quickly what resources they've got available, delegating responsibility, and communicating clearly. You need everybody involved to be absolutely devoted to truth, not focused on personal political agendas, just truth. And once you've got that, you can delegate the decisions down to the lowest possible level so that the people who know each part of the system really well make the right decisions for their part, and then they collaborate with the adjacent teams to check, is there an effect on your part of this complex system? If you do all of that, then it's possible to apply your teamwork, your ingenuity, and your rational processes and solve a nearly impossible problem. So NASA learned that very clearly from Apollo 13 and has tried really hard to keep on applying that. The trouble with trying to apply that is that human beings age and retire, and then new human beings come into the system, and they don't have those searing lessons from a catastrophe. So if you look at NASA's history, we had Apollo 13 in 1970, but before that we had the fire for Apollo 1 on the launch pad in 1967. 19 years after that fire, Challenger exploded. 17 years after that explosion, Columbia broke up during reentry. So there's an institutional memory that we lose. And every so often, about once a generation, we get lax and we make a mistake and we have another catastrophe. NASA is about due for another catastrophe, which is worrying, because we're working on getting the Dragon capsule to take crews to the space station. We're working on the Boeing alternative so that we'll have two ways of getting up there. One of those is likely to have a big problem unless somebody somewhere in the system manages to get all the human beings to remember that we need to be rigorous about all these parts and about the complex system.
Fascinating, Bonnie. Thank you very much. Keep safe. Lovely to talk to you again. That's Bonnie Hoovell, who worked in Houston on the shuttle missions in the late 1970s and early 80s, and she now lives at West Felton near Oswestry. Fascinating.
It is, isn't
wonderful.
It?
Wonderful. I didn't get the opportunity to say to Bonnie, she said she was a space nut when she was a kid, and I wonder how many times she pinched herself when she was working on the shuttle missions. Said, I'm here. I can't believe
this
it.
Is
I'm
incredible.
Here. Through dedication and hard work and effort and everything else, but, you know, I'm here. I've done it. Fantastic.
Amazing stuff. Great, yeah, yeah. Morning. It's Friday morning. It's breakfast with Eric and Claire coming up to 9:15.